Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8, Text 19 and 20, the story of Pingala. Text 19. Jivayati pramatinya.
Jivayati pramatinya.
Jivava savinarupaha. Which is extremely disturbing. Jiva, a person. Rasavimaita, the word about your action to taste. Mrityum, death. Vrichati, achieve. Asat, useless. Bhuti, whose intelligence. Minaha, the fish. Two, indeed. Narvishai, by the hooks. Mata, just as. Translation. Just as a fish, incited by the desire to enjoy his tongue, is fatally trapped on the fisherman's hook. Similarly, a foolish person is bewildered by the extremely disturbing urges of the tongue, and this does wound. Okay. The fisherman places meaty bait on a sharp hook and easily attracts the unintelligent fish, who is greedy to enjoy its tongue. Similarly, people are mad after gratifying their tongues and lose all discrimination in their eating habits. For momentary gratification, they construct huge slaughterhouses and kill millions of innocent creatures. And by inflicting such atrocious suffering, they prepare a ghastly future for themselves. But even if one eats only the foods authorized in the Vedas, there is still danger. One may eat too sumptuously, and then the artificially stuffed belly will create pressure on the sexual organs. Does one will fall down into the lower modes of nature and commit sinful activities that lead to the death of one's spiritual life. From the fish, one should carefully learn the real dangers involved in gratifying the tongue. Text 20. Indiani jantyashu nirahavamanishuna vajitvartu rasalam tamiram nasivartu. By fasting, learned men quickly bring all the senses except the tongue under control, because by abstaining from eating, such men are afflicted with an increased desire to gratify the sense of taste. Purport. In South America, there is a saying that when the belly is full, the heart is content. Thus, one who is eating sumptuously is jolly. And if one is deprived of proper food, one's appetite becomes even more voracious. An intelligent person, however, does not fall under the control of the tongue, but rather tries to make progress in Krishna consciousness. By accepting the remnants of food offered to the Lord, prasadam, one gradually purifies the heart and automatically becomes simple and austere. In this connection, Srivatsyanta Saraswati Thakur states, the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with the varieties of flavor. But by wandering in the 12 holy forests of Vrajamandala Vrindavan, one can be free from the 12 flavors of material sense gratification. The five principal divisions of material relationships are mutual admiration, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. The seven subordinate features of material relationships are material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and vastness. Usually these 12 rasas, or flavors of relationships, are exchanged between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity in the spiritual world. And by wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, one can re-spiritualize the 12 flavors of personal existence. Thus, one will become a liberated soul, free from all material desires. If one artificially tries to give up sense gratification, especially that of the tongue, the attempt will be a failure, and in fact, one's desire for sense gratification will increase as a result of artificial deprivation. Only by experiencing real spiritual pleasure in relationship with Krishna can one give up material desires. Mukam karoti vacham mandam mahate kriya kripangam vandasi gurum yathanam amagana tiram dasagam jala shavakya chakshuritam yavatasamai shri guru namaha. So the important word here is rasa, or taste. Two meanings of rasa, what the tongue tastes by eating, and also what the tongue tastes by chanting Hare Krishna and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Two kinds of rasas. I'll explain. We also have two choices for the tongue. We can use the tongue to elevate ourselves, or we can use the tongue to degrade ourselves. We can use our tongue to please our senses, or we can use our tongue to please Krishna's senses. But if we please Krishna's senses, then our senses will also be pleased. So better to choose to please Krishna's senses. So, Prabhupada is urging us here to accept the remnants of food offered to the Lord, prasadam, because we'll purify our heart. And so here Prabhupada gives two reasons why we should eat prasadam. By accepting the remnants of food offered to the Lord, prasadam, one gradually purifies the heart and automatically becomes simple and austere. So two reasons why we should eat prasadam and not that which is not offered to Krishna. First reason, it purifies the heart. And the second reason, if we offer our food to Krishna, we become simple and austere. Because if you go to the supermarket, you'll find so many other things which you can eat, which you may not offer to Krishna. And there will be a different result if you eat that food. And so what are some other reasons why we should offer our food to Krishna? Krishna's not hungry. He doesn't need our food. He's not impressed with our opulent offerings. Just like when Krishna went to make a peace offering, he went as a messenger of Yudhisthira to Hastinapur, to Dhritarashtra, to Duryodhana. Joel didn't prepare an offering and feast for him, but he was not interested. He says, no. He went to Gedaliah's house, where it was not so opulent. And so because he's satisfied by love. So what is it that Krishna wants from us? When we offer our food, patyam pushpam phalam tayam yome bhakti parachiti. If you offer me this bhakti, this devotion. Sanatana Goswami was living under a tree. He had his deity in the tree also. And what was he offering? Some dried chapatis without even any salt. And Krishna was complaining, why are you giving me these dried chapatis? And Sanatana Goswami said, you know, what can I do? This is the best I can give you, so you have to accept. And Krishna had to accept. He had to accept those dried chapatis, but the love was there. The love was there. So Krishna's not looking so much at what we give, but how we give it with our devotion, with our service attitude. Everything belongs to Krishna, so the devotee not only food, he gives everything, and everything becomes prasadam, not just the food. He sees the whole world as part of Krishna. Just like Prithu Maharaj, he's an example of offering, of the attitude of offering. After hearing from the Kumaras, philosophy, he wanted to offer them something. He said, it's my duty to offer you, but all I have are the remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. So what shall I give? So Krishna, he's more pleased when you give through the mouth of the devotee than if you give him directly. So out of love, the devotee gives whatever he has to Krishna. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, it describes the difference between the two types of food. And in the purport, Prabhupada said that while the devotees offer, he said the santas means the devotees, are always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They cannot accept anything without first offering to Krishna. Therefore, these devotees perform yagyas such as Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam, Smaranam. And they keep them aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful associations. Or another reason why we should offer our food. And this purport here has, I know, an interesting story that goes with it. With one book distributor who is out in book distribution. And somebody, but he was in Christmas time and he was in a Santa Claus uniform. And so somebody challenged him with a gun. He said, prove that you're Santa. So he looked at his Bhagavad Gita to this purport and said, the Santas, always in a compact of love with the Supreme Lord, cannot accept anything without first offering. So he proved he was a Santa. So in case you ever get challenged by anybody, but I don't think we do that anymore, do we? We don't wear Santa Claus uniforms and go out for book distribution. We go as we are. So I don't think you have that problem. And so it's described in 10th canto that everyone should offer to Krishna. And there's four things that we can offer. Prana, artha, dhyana, vacha. Our life. If you can't offer your life, then artha, give some donation. If you don't have money, then you have dhyana, you have your intelligence, hopefully. And if you don't have any intelligence, you can give vacha, you can give your words. And so everything we should offer to Krishna, not only our food, but we're concentrating on food today. But Prabhupada, he had that vision of everything connected to Krishna, so therefore he saw this whole world was connected. He saw all living entities connected. And that's why he wanted to bring all living entities back to Krishna consciousness. He wanted to offer us to Krishna, in other words. Prabhupada had that vision. He saw it when he came to America. He saw them, how everybody was suffering so much, being separate from Krishna. And so Prabhupada engaged all of us, both rich and poor, and some of us had nothing to give to Krishna, but others did. Brahmananda had some life savings of $5,000. Prabhupada took it from him. And then Brahmananda was looking at some bhagavatams. He hoped that he could get them in exchange. And he asked Prabhupada, could I have those bhagavatam books? And Prabhupada said, yes, but that will be extra. He had to pay for them. And Brahmananda said that to get those books was a lot more difficult than the $5,000 she had earned. So We should offer our friendship to Krishna. Krishna is our friend. There's the six loving exchanges you have according to Nectar of Instruction. Offering gifts in charity, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind, and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, offering prasad are six symptoms. So Prabhupada in the lecture, as early as 1966 in New York, he said we should have these six loving exchanges with Krishna. We should offer him gifts, just like if you want to make friendship with a big man, you bring him a gift. So we offer gifts to Krishna, we accept gifts, we offer food, we accept food. We inquire confidentially and we reveal our mind. When I first joined in the Boston Temple in 1970, there was a practice that we would go up in front of the deities and we would have to reveal our mind. We would wait in line, one by one we'd go up and we'd have to tell what service we did during the week and we'd have to reveal our mind. You know, this is my problem, you know, please help me, this is the obstacles I'm facing. And so we had to do that, and that's a nice thing. I really miss doing that. Of course, you can still do it. Nobody's stopping you. But if you're not, you don't have the habit, then it might not be easy to do that. And we live in Vrindavan, so Prabhupada instructed us that if you have any problem, you'll go to Balaram. So you have Balaram here also. And you just say, sir, this is my problem. And he will take care of it for you. And so Robin said, you have to practice to love Krishna. Getting up early in the morning, you don't like to. But you think, okay, I'll get up early to satisfy Krishna. Then chant 16 rounds, Prabhupada said in the lecture, you may be lazy, you may not want to do it, but if you want to love Krishna, then you should do it. So we have to learn how to love Krishna because we're not spontaneously following the regular principles at this stage. It takes time. And so the personless, we are devotees, we're personless. We accept that Krishna can eat. And another purport in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 63, Prabhupada says, an impersonalist, being impersonal, cannot eat. Whereas an impersonalist tries to avoid good food, a devotee knows Krishna is supreme enjoyer, and he eats all that is offered to him in devotion, and then he enjoys prasad. So, we sacrifice. We sacrifice when we chant the holy names, we also sacrifice. That's a sacrifice, the best offering to Krishna. We're offering our mind. Just like in Bhagavatam 118.12, the sages, they had a realization that, you know, we're doing this yajna, this sacrifice, without certainty of its result, due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we're very happy tasting the nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda, which you are distributing. So we'll talk about that taste a little bit later, the other rasa that we taste with our tongue. The first rasa we taste is the food, and the second is the chanting. We taste the chanting of Hare Krishna. So I'd like to give some examples of Prabhupada's instructions on prasadam, because his disciples are giving some instructions here not to eat too sumptuously, and then you will create pressure on your sexual organs and you'll fall down to low modes. So that, and fall away from spiritual life. So these are instructions for devotees. So how did Prabhupada give instructions? Nanda Kumar shares a realization. He said, there was a time when I was feeling physically challenged. Ghee and sugar and some of the general diet of prasad was too heavy for me and would make me sleep or get sick. When I ate light foods, I would be healthy. So devotees told me, that's maya. If you take prasadam, Krishna will bless you. Whatever you get is just a tiny fragment of your karma. Devotees, eat prasadam and don't worry about health food. Not anymore. That was philosophically sound. But practically speaking, if I ate a light diet, I served better and I had a clearer mind. I asked Prabhupada, I understand the principle of accepting Krishna's mercy or taking prasadam. But when I eat light, it's easier. When I eat heavy, it's difficult. What should I do? So Prabhupada said, If you're Rupa Goswami, you should just take prasadam. But if you're a neophyte, which all of you are, you have to decide what is good for your devotional service and what is not good for your devotional service. So Prabhupada told us to use our common sense. And he gave, but then in another time, he gave the opposite answer. In Montreal, there is a devotee, Dayalani Thai, who was a yogi and into health. He strongly criticized our diet, white sugar, white rice, butter. And Prabhupada was in Montreal, and one day Dayalani Thai was complaining to Prabhupada how our food was not healthy, we're all going to get sick. And Prabhupada said, you see Brahmananda there? He's been eating food for so long, does he look sick? So, he would give different time, place, and circumstance. Now, Shudakirti also had one thing I would like to share, that they were eating at a life member's house in UK. It was a late night feast. And Prabhupada said, he quoted Prabhupada, devotees should eat sumptuous prasad, simple but sumptuous. Sumptuous means tasty. If the prasadam is tasty, you can go on eating even if you're not hungry. And if it's not tasty, you'll immediately lose your appetite. Prasadam must be very nice for the devotees, and everything else will be all right. Opulent prasadam means ghee and sugar. Watch out. So here we go. This is the old days. So he said at the feast there was halava, sweet rice, puris, and many other preparations. And I watched Prabhupada eat. He was honoring prasadam, meditating on his food. And when we returned to Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada rang his bell. Prabhupada said, everyone has enjoyed prasadam? Everyone has enjoyed the feast? Sudhakirti said, well, actually, Prabhupada, some of the devotees, they are not feeling well. They are saying everything was fried in oil instead of ghee. Prabhupada said, well, what do you expect? I was watching them. I saw Pradyumna ate so many puris, and this other devotee ate so much vegetable. So Sudhakirti said, I was amazed. I noticed Prabhupada was eating. I had no idea he was watching all of us. And he said, yes, Prabhupada, but I don't feel well, and I didn't eat very much. Prabhupada said, yes, I noticed. You didn't eat so much, but I do remember you ate 4 puris. So, yes, Prabhupada, I guess I did. He didn't remember how many puris he ate, but Prabhupada noticed. And so he said he knew more about what I ate than I did. So this was Prabhupada and prasadam. Another prasadam story from Florida, since you're all in Florida. And you probably heard this story before, but I'll tell it again. I've seen it so many times. It was 1984. There were some devotees out in the Sankirtan van doing book distribution at the state fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. They parked in a Days Inn parking lot for the night. 5 brahmacharis was fast asleep when they heard over a megaphone, all right in there, come out slowly with your hands raised. I looked out the window, surprised to see the van surrounded by 10 police cars, more than a dozen officers with their guns drawn. We emerged from the van, squinting from the bright flashlights, burning our eyes. The officers began to frisk each of us, though we were dressed only in gumshoes. What are you doing here? The officer in charge demands. We are distributing love of God in the form of books, I explain. Prove it. I opened the van doors, thinking this perhaps to be a dream. I reached into one of the boxes, pulled out a Bhagavad Gita, and handed it to the officer in charge. He intently inspected the book. Then, until finally he broke the silence, declaring, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I was taken aback. I was worried his gun-toting subordinates. At this point, I was convinced this was all a dream. The officer in charge proudly explained, I used to go to the University of Florida and regularly ate the Krishna lunch. You practically put me through college. I even stayed 2 days at the temple. Turning to his associates, he pronounced, these are great books, and you should all buy one. On his order, the officers began reaching for their wallets. Out of the 20 cops, I think 90% of them took books. We made almost $200. Our new friend then apologized for the abrupt entry, telling us that earlier that night a gun store had been robbed, and the description of the getaway vehicle exactly matched our van. I dealt with God back to sleep that night after one of the most bizarre experiences of my life. But thanks to Poseidon Distribution, it turned into a great Thank You Tom story. So yes, I think it's still going on. Yeah, the name wasn't there. Yeah, I think Reggie Bihari also tells the story too, because I've heard it before. I've heard it many times. And I think Reggie Bihari was there too, one of those five brahmacharis. But yeah, I got this because I had heard it before. I knew Reggie Bihari told it. So this one I got on Facebook and I forgot to take the name. Anyway, two stories. So another point the Prabhupada makes in a lecture, and I don't have the reference here, that we can see Krishna by tasting prasadam. He said, one who cannot see God, he should see God in different ways. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna recommends, rasoham apsu kronteya. Raso, I am the taste of water. I am the rasa that you taste in water. So Prabhupada said, try to see God in the taste of water. We have so many senses. You want to see God with the eyes, but begin with your tongue. This is also another sense. Just if like there's nice food, if I say, let me see, how is it? Let me see means you're already seeing it. It means what do you want? No, I want to taste it. So let me see means let me taste. So Prabhupada said, first of all, taste God. So the tongue, we can taste God with our tongue in different ways, with prasadam and by chanting. So we heard that the purport, the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with the varieties of flavor, but by wandering the 12 forests of Rajamangala, one can be freed of the 12 flavors of material sense gratification. So by chanting Hare Krishna, by chanting Kirtan, by chanting Bhagavatam, we can taste Krishna, this other rasa, the 12 rasas. And that's the purpose of reading Bhagavatam, so we can taste these rasas. There's a verse, Atashi Krishna Namari, Nabhavetayamindri, I say Ramukhi Jivaro, Sayaneva Swarathyada. That we cannot understand spiritual life through our material senses. But if we use them in devotional service, beginning with jiva, beginning with the tongue, then everything will be revealed to us. Krishna will reveal himself. Swayam. Bhagavatam begins, Nigama Kapataror Kalitam Phalam Shikamukaramita Darasam Yatam Vibhata Bhagavatam Vasam Alayam Muhurahora Sika. Ruby Bhagavatam. And so Bhagavatam is rasa. It's the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature, Nigama Kapataror Kalitam Phalam. So Gurudas once asked Srila Prabhupada, what are the desire trees in Goloka like? And Prabhupada said, the fruits have no seed and no skin. And when you finish eating a fruit, and the sweet taste is still in your mouth, another fruit appears in your hand. So if you so desire again and again until you're completely satisfied. So this Bhagavatam is so sweet, you can relish one part, then another part will come for you to relish. This is Bhagavatam. And it's actually rasa, it's juice. We don't even have to chew it because Shukadeva has tasted it and it has become rasa, it's become juice. And Prabhupada has digested it and so it's even a sweeter juice. We have a juice to drink now every day. And in this way we can taste the 12 rasas, flavors, 12 flavors. In Bhagavatam again it says that Ayurharati Vaipunsam Udyanastan Chayanaso. Sasarthi Akshanoni Tautama Sloka Vartaya. By rising and setting, the sun takes away duration of life of everyone, but one who is discussing the topics of Krishna. Another verse, 116.8, that it's the sages say, as long as Yamaraj is present here with us in this Bhagavatam class, they had a long Bhagavatam class, we have a short one, no one shall meet with death. So if you stay in Bhagavatam class all the time, you won't die. But what that means is you won't come back to the cycle of birth and death. You won't have a normal death, but you will go straight to Krishna just like lightning or the moon. He changed his body and got a spiritual body immediately. So Prabhupada said, Yamaraj is not to be feared by the devotees. It's his duty to see the rascals who have forgotten Krishna, we are punished. So, but Prabhupada said, but don't fall down and accept material life again. So we have this choice again, as I said in the beginning of class. We can use our tongue materially or we can use it spiritually. We can chant Hare Krishna or we can, as we heard yesterday from Maharaj, we can hear and chant mundane songs or we can hear and chant spiritual songs. And if we chant the mundane songs, we're like the fish getting caught on the hook. And we will suffer greatly. And we will become contaminated by material desires. And if we eat food offered to Krishna, if we chant Hare Krishna, then desires will all be taken away, even though they may be there, but they will be purified. So we'll stop here if there's any questions, comments. Yes? Over there. I thought you had your hand up, yes?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
This is a sad story of the Srila Prabhupada, 1975.
Oh, yeah, but the sad story, 1975.
Yeah. So, Prabhupada did a class in the evening. He made the documentaries. So it was very, balmy atmosphere, beautiful.
In Hawaii.
This is Miami.
Oh, Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after the class, people asking questions, and one person raised their hand and said, is it true that when you take prasanna, you're guaranteed a human birth? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that's true. So everybody started to cheer, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And it all calmed down. Srila Prabhupada said, there's some species of monkeys that are considered human. Everybody got sober.
Oh. Anybody else have a question? Yes.
It's not a question, it's another story.
Oh, great. Story time.
One time Srila Prabhupada was taking prasadam. I'm not sure where, somewhere in the European countries, I believe. And he was taking lunch. And then in the middle of his lunch, he said, do you like to have ice cream? So generally, the cooks will be there cooking and getting Srila Prabhupada have prasadam. So the servant went, he told the head cook that Srila Prabhupada wants ice cream. So they didn't prepare ice cream, and that takes a while. So 10 minutes after, towards the end of Srila Prabhupada's meal, ice cream came. The Srila Prabhupada had the ice cream and enjoyed, or took his prasadam, so he got up, was going to the bathroom to wash up, and then he turned back and he sat back down and he said, call the person who made this ice cream. So the servant ran to the kitchen and he said, Srila Prabhupada wants to know who made the ice cream, he wants to see them. So the head cook, he turned like blue because, he knew what happened. So he came in and he was like shaking, and Srila Prabhupada said, who made the ice cream? So then he hesitated, he said, Srila Prabhupada, we went and we got it from the marketplace. So then Srila Prabhupada laid back in his chair and he said, just see, we have devotees everywhere.
Oh, very nice. Very good. Any other questions or stories?
I have a question.
You have a question.
These examples of the...
I can't hear you. Can you speak louder?
This example of the fish is after bathe.
Yes.
It seems like irresistible from prarabdha karma, that knowing that object will bind or cause me death, yet I am feeling that so impelled that I don't have a way to stop within my mind. What impels that soul to forcefully, as if it is against his own will?
You sound like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 3.
I don't hear from your side.
Well,
because I'm collecting for the
karma. All I know is what Krishna says, he says karma rishi kodayation, which was the answer Krishna gave.
That's the idea, but practically, how it applies and acts, purification.
How do we control, or how do we, what is your question?
The philosophical insight is okay, and then devotional principle is okay, but how actually things takes place, that irresistible, predetermined, is eventually diminished.
Well, when we eat food not offered to Krishna, then that creates that desire more and more, like an addiction. We take it once, and then it creates desires to have more. And that pushes us. It becomes like an addiction. But if we eat prasadam, many devotees can tell you that that also created an addiction and pushed them to have more, and they became devotees. So you can do it either way. If you eat unoffered food, it will push you to take more. And if you eat prasadam, it will push you to take more prasadam. It's your choice. It's your choice what you will do. If you do have that intelligence, if your intelligence, if you know the story that Bhakti Chaitanya used to tell about the two dogs in the heart. There's two dogs in your heart fighting. One is the sinful dog, one is the godless dog. Who's going to win? How do you tell the one you feed the most? So if we feed our material dog the most, the material dog will win, it will push us. We feed the spiritual dog the most, then the spiritual dog will win. It push us to spiritual life. It will become our friend. The mind will become our friend. Our tongue will become our friend. But that takes time. Long time. Yes, Jamashtan.
I have a sanctity story.
Oh, okay.
My friend Naguna, and then he was traveling with Vedanta Sutra, who lives here in the community, and they were in Alabama, and it was the middle of winter, and it was like about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they went to a car wash, and because they got hot water in a car wash, and
mm-hmm.
they were, you can put it on, you know, the first you put the soap in, there's soap in the in this thing, so they'd all soaked up. And then two cop cars pull up and pull guns on them and told them, get out of town right now. And so they had to get in the cars, put in their van, and they had this soap suds all over their bodies and go to the next town. That's one. And I had also had that experience being, we had two vans, we were in Ocean City, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And we were parking in a hotel, and like about five cop cars came and had us get out of the van. It wasn't as good a story, but we were woken up and we had to leave.
Okay. It happens.
Yeah.
Or it happened. Maybe not anymore. Maybe it's more.
Yeah, I had some good Sankirtan stories too.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
In Radha Damodar party, they asked Prabhupada that why the brahmacharis, they were distributing books every day and they were very strict. So Tamal Goswami Maharaj made a point. They asked Prabhupada that they are chanting 69s minimum, they are following these four legality principles, and they are distributing books and they are a deity, everything is going well. But what is that? Sorry, they didn't have the deity that time. Bhanu Maharaj was the pujari. And after, then they asked Prabhupada, but still the brahmacharis are agitated. So they asked Prabhupada like this. And then Prabhupada says, what about the prasadam? He said, we eat nice organic everything, nice cheese and everything from the market. But do you offer it? He said, no, we don't have a deity. Mm-hmm. So you say that's probably
yes,
the cause.
Yes. It works.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Prasadam works. Yes.
This is just another little story from Srila Prabhupada. I heard when the devotees first came, Srila Prabhupada told them to just eat as much prasadam as possible. So then after some time, one day he gave instructions, he said, you should be eating as little as possible. So then the devotees asked, why? Saying, Srila Prabhupada said, when I tell you to eat as much as possible, no one questioned why. Now you're questioning. And I don't know what happened after that.
I just remembered another one from Srila Kirti. One time, or actually it was Srila Kirti. Prabhupada was give a lecture on how you shouldn't eat too much. So Srila Kirti decided to eat less. It was Janmashtami, he was fasting, and then Prabhupada's appearance day. And then he started to get thin, and Prabhupada said, what's wrong? Are you sick? He said, no, you said we shouldn't eat too much. He said, no, you have to eat, you have to work, you have to massage. As much as you can digest, you should eat. Now, it's according to how you can digest, how much you can digest. And it changes, like now it's half of what I used to eat. I can't eat at night, very good, it's different. Okay, anybody else? Yeah.
Two short stories. One story was about Prabhupada was in Australia and he took some of the evening offerings, some of the he was doing the prayers, and he asked him who has made these prayers. It was common. He said, I can understand for all these prayers that this devotee is following the regulated principles very nicely. Well, so I love that. And the other one, you may have heard of it, was Vishu Jain and Narasimha's party. Were distributing it and they got arrested. And they were on the way to Vrindavan for Janmashtami, so that they were put in jail. And they still burned out, because here they were in jail and they were so excited about, being there for Janmashtami and, take the shadow and go to the festival. So they were just kind of burned out. But then Vishu Jain says, we're going to do it right here. So they just started, somebody is making the sweet rice, doing the pot, somebody's making the pulls, putting on the ghee, somebody's making flower garlands, and the meantime the jailers are looking and they're like, what is going on here? But they're completely blissful and just simulating, having this festival. So finally they got so fat, they said, we're going to let you guys out, and we're going to follow you to the border. Just don't ever come back here. You know, they let them out,
Okay, another one, Janmashtami. Never mind. Okay.
This is not a story. This is a question.
Okay.
Because we're talking about, sensuous prasadam.
Right.
And is it appropriate to say something if the prasadam is consistently not up to standard?
Is it okay?
Well, is it appropriate to say something like to raise the standard?
Well, that's between you and the temple president.
Okay.
Huh?
What about the rice was burnt and they offered to grow by the nobles?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I say. You have to go to your authority. Who's in charge of it. Now we have Shankar, so you can
say something to him.
Talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Janmashtami was first, or Bhaja?
Yes.
Bhaja?
Yes.
Yeah, you already had a chance.
Prabhupada also said in Vrindavan Leela that devotee's only sense gratification is a prasadam. So,
right.
Prasadam should be first class standard.
Yes,
sir, then
yes.
Vrindavan.
Yes, in Vrindavan he said it. Okay, Janmashtami.
I got a Santa Claus story. I was in charge of Santa Claus for my first 14 years, and there was this period when everyone was playing Santa Claus during the Christmas marathon. So I developed a new method for playing Santa Claus, and that is, in those days we were also distributing records.
Wow.
And I would drive in my van into these mall parking lots and ho-ho out the window and drive up to people. They'd be completely shocked. and it was huge. I was doing bigger than anybody had ever done. I was doing about $200 an hour. And that was way back
like in the late, probably 79.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was really tricky because I had to really be in touch with Super Soul because the laps would get hot pretty quick. And so one time I got this sense that I better get out of here. And I had other devotees on the party. And Roy Krishna, who lives in the community, he came into a parking lot that I had just left, and five cars showed up and busted him. And I spent 2 days in jail. But it was amazing, you know, how shocked people were that Santa Claus would come up and wave to him out the window and go, ho, ho, ho. Actually, I lost my voice. I ruptured a blood vessel in the vocal cord and had to whisper. I couldn't speak for 2 months. And then I did Sankirtan in New York. I dressed up as a clown and whistled. And, you know, I would point up and did a whole pantomime, and that was also really big.
Okay. So, thank you. Hare Krishna.